Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Wonderful. Good morning, everybody. And a big hello to everybody online. Are you doing well? Excellent. Well, I'm so excited for the message that I have to share with you. But just firstly, I just want to take a moment to be really transparent, because it's good to be really transparent with each other in God's house, isn't it? Yesterday, myself and my very close family, we sat with my very bestest uncle as we saw him take his last breath before he went to heaven. And many of us right now are actually going through a season of bereavement. There seems to be many of us. And I just want to encourage everyone here that is going through bereavement or maybe pain of other description that is so real, that this is best place to be. That in the house of God is the best place to be. Often when we're in pain and we're at our lowest moments, we can be tempted to run, to hide, to go into isolation and not to be with the family of God. But we need to do the reverse. We need to get with the family of God, and we just need to simply worship. Worship through our pain, worship through our questions, and be there for one another. And I just know as I was worshipping, there's not just me that's maybe hurting today. I just get a sense that there's maybe pain of different descriptions in the house this morning. And so before we go into the word, and it's going to be great, so get ready, we're going to take a moment to pray specifically for everyone that is in any sort of pain in this place today, whether it's in emotional pain, a loss, whether it's even pain mentally. You keep going back to a certain memory or a certain season that is causing you pain. So if that is for you, if that speaks to you, I just want you to do a brave thing now. I just want to invite you just to stand where you are and put your hands out in a position to say, Jesus, I'm giving you the pain, but I'm also receiving your grace and receiving your comfort. So if that's you, just want to invite you now just to stand to where you are. Wonderful. Well done for faith, for responsiveness in the house this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Many people standing. Few more seconds, it's not too late to join. And the rest of us, church, we have an opportunity right now for 2 moments where I want to invite everyone here that is a follower of Jesus, stand up, come out your seat and go and lay a hand on the shoulder of someone near to you. Keep your eyes open and just minister that God will meet them in their place of pain. Come on, church, this is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. We've still got many people here, ladies here, we've got many people here that need family gathering around them. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. Meet us in our pain. Meet us in our questions. Meet us in our disappointments. Meet us in the darkest places of our soul. You'll do something so majestic, so wonderful, so beautiful. You are the God who turns it around. You are the God God, who turns it around. God, who turns it around. Now I want to invite those of you who are praying, if you've got a Bible verse, if you've got a sense of something that's going to encourage that person you're praying for, I want you now to speak that to them. Just briefly. Just release that word of encouragement to them. Jesus, today we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And right now, I want to invite all of us to stand to our feet as we pray for one final thing. And I got such a sense in my spirit as we were worshipping that in these next months ahead, I invite everyone to their feet, that God wants to bring into our gathering people that are in so much pain, because God is going to set them free. God is going to minister. God is going to do the work. So what I want us to do, I want us to declare, bring in the people of pain so that you can do your work. Church, are you with me? Are you with me? Don't you sense the pain when you walk around the community? Aren't people everywhere in pain? Don't they need Jesus? So come on, for 30 seconds, I want us to declare, bring them in. Bring them in. Use us. Holy Spirit, do your work. Come on, church. Let's agree. Let's call them in. Let's call them in. Jesus, use us. Use us. Bring in men, women, boys and girls in pain who are brokenhearted, who need the freedom, the healing, the restoration that only the Lord Jesus can bring. Make us ready. Get us equipped. Give us a heart of compassion to minister to those in pain. In Jesus' name we ask. We ask. Come on, I'm going to ask Johnson to pray a prayer of faith along that trajectory, that this is what the Lord is going to do.
Oh, hallelujah. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, whoever is suffering with pain, O God, I declare complete freedom in the mighty name of Jesus. You pain, you go out from the body in the mighty name of Jesus. You don't have any space to stay in the body and torture people. I decree and declare complete freedom for each one of us this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. You enemy, you don't have any authority. I come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Every challenges be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Every disease be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Every sufferings be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the anointing of God touch and heal them completely in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let them feel the difference in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak life to them in the mighty name of Jesus. Every shackles of enemy be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. The enemy cannot stand before us, Lord. Hallelujah. He is already defeated by the blood of Jesus. We decree and declare we complete freedom in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Come on, round of applause for Jesus. He's so good. Take your seats. As you sit down, turn to the one next to you and say, I'm glad I'm sitting near you this morning. And turn to the other one and say, you're the best looking thing I've seen the whole month of March so far. Okay. Wonderful. So we're going into a 3-week part series called Following and Fishing, Lessons from St. Paul. It's going to be a whistle-stop tour, so I'm going to be giving you your own homework to be doing the next 3 weeks, your own reading through the book of Acts as we go, but it is going to be awesome. I wonder if you have ever undertaken a significant journey. Maybe that journey was a relocation. I know that some of you have even relocated from another country, another continent, the other side of the world, and now you're here. That is a significant journey, yeah? I can see some of you smiling at me like, yeah, I totally get that. Or maybe you undertook a significant journey because of somebody you met on that journey. Pastor Dave has shared that 2 years ago we went on holiday and Dave met a lady on that flight who indeed lived in Rugby. And from that conversation, she is now attending a church in Rugby. She has been baptized. Her son has come to Christ. Her husband is now on the way. That was a significant journey because of Peggy and the relationship with Peggy. Or maybe it's simply it's been a significant journey because you learned something. There was a huge reflection. There was a huge takeaway that you thought, I will never forget that journey because of X, Y, Z. Well, in this series, Following and Fishing, we are going to look at three journeys which St. Paul took, which were completely significant. In fact, even though these journeys happened 2,000 years ago, we are still experiencing the results and the benefits of those three journeys which St. Paul took. And not just that, it gets even better. If we are open, if we adopt a disposition to learn, we can learn principles from St. Paul which can impact your life this afternoon, tomorrow, Wednesday night. Things that can change your life even today. Does that sound good? Yes. So, first of all, who was St. Paul? Let us answer that first question. Well, we meet Paul in the book of Acts. Acts is in the New Testament. It follows the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then we have Acts, which is the birth of the church. It's like where it all exploded and it really got going. And we meet Paul in Acts chapter 9. But he wasn't called Paul then. He was called Saul. Saul of Tarsus, because he was from a place called Tarsus. And Saul was brilliant. He was zealous. He was extremely well educated. He was wealthy. He had a well-connected family. He was really well acquainted with the Hebrew scriptures. And very acquainted with Greco-Roman history, language, culture. Paul, Saul even, was probably the sort of young man that boys would think, I want to be like Saul. I want to be as successful, as prestigious as Saul. And he became very famous in Palestine, Jerusalem, but for the wrong reason. Do you know any famous people that got famous, but it's for all the wrong reasons, rather than the right reasons? I'm sure we've all got someone coming to our head. And Saul became famous for the wrong reasons because he zealously persecuted Christ followers, followers of the way. In fact, because he thought he was right and they were wrong, and they should not be following this anointed one, Jesus. So he made a decision, I'm gonna zealously pursue every Christ follower, and I'm either gonna kill them, or I'm gonna make their life so miserable that they decide to start following the way. Don't worry, guys, you're doing a great job. I was there a few years ago. I remember what it was like. Always at the wrong moment, isn't it? They want that little no, I'm not going to do what you say. No. It's all good. So, he was famous for all the wrong reasons. But Acts chapter 9 tells us that Saul is actually on his way down a road called the road of Damascus, and he has an encounter with Christ. In fact, it's so significant. Jesus talks to him. And Jesus spoke, what are you doing? And this encounter completely starts to turn Saul's life around to the point where he becomes a different person. He doesn't just change teams. He doesn't just jump onto the team of the Christ followers, but he becomes the ambassador of ambassador for Jesus. and the followers of the way. You see, I want to remind us, church, that God is the God of turnaround. That you might look at someone in your life that doesn't know Christ, and you may think there is no way on earth that they will come to Jesus. I want to tell you, they're probably going to be the best follower of Jesus, because God is the God that turns things around. You may have a situation right now which you think, surely, can God do something in that? It looks so bad. The answer is yes, He can. Release your faith. Give that situation to Jesus. He is the God that turns things around. And Saul's life became utterly transformed. Christ follower, isn't that what we're here for? Isn't that why Jesus is tarrying his return? Because he wants to see the lives of men, women, boys and girls totally transformed. Amazon can't do that. A good self-help book, as good as they are, can't do that. Medication, and we thank God for medication, can't do that. Only the power of God can completely change someone's life. So, let me give you a timeline. Anybody like a good timeline? So we can see where we are. So, here we go. So, theologians tell us that it was about AD 37 when Saul had this encounter on the road to Damascus. He was a different person. Then, AD 37 to 40, so around 3 years, he spent in Arabia. Very quiet. What was going on? I think God was starting to do a work, a quiet work in him. Don't despise the quiet seasons in your life. Because God is getting you ready. In fact, you need seasons of quiet. Sometimes seasons where it may seem like not a lot is going on. Because God is preparing you. The best things cook slowly. The best things take a long, long time to develop. And then in AD 40, he visits Jerusalem to meet with the Apostle Peter, one of the founders of the early church. Then in AD 40 to 44, Saul preaches and ministers in Tarsus. That's where he was from. God sent him back to where he was from. That's an interesting thought. Sometimes God will send you right back to your closest friends and family first, so they can start to see the work that Jesus is doing in you. And then in AD 44 or 45, Saul relocates to Antioch, which is Syria. AD 45 or 46, he travels with his partner in ministry called Barnabas, who was a great apostle, an encourager, a prophet. They visit Jerusalem. In fact, they help to take some famine relief there. And then in AD 46, 47, Paul embarks on his first missionary journey with Barnabas, which lasts between 1 to 2 years. So that there just helps to give us a little bit of a background into St. Paul, who he was, and a little bit of the first few years of him coming to Christ. Now, let me tell us that Paul's missionary journeys helped spread the gospel throughout much of the ancient world. Over the course of his ministry, St. Paul travelled more than 10,000 miles. They didn't have aeroplanes then, did they? Wow. And established at least 14 churches. And the book of Acts records 3 separate missionary journeys that took Paul through Greece, Turkey, Syria, and numerous regions. Some scholars argue that Paul took a 4th missionary journey, since some parts of the New Testament refer to that travel, but we're not going to worry about a 4th for now in this series. We're just going to keep it nice and easy and focus on the 3 missionary trips that Paul took. Paul's travels played a crucial part in the formation of the early Christian church. Many of the communities he encountered on these missionary journeys were the same ones that later in the New Testament he wrote his epistles to. He'd been there. He'd ate bread with them. He'd drank with them. He'd chatted with them. He'd helped them. And then he left, but they were still in his heart. Ever been with someone and you move on, but they're always in your heart? You might not be on the soil with them, but they're in your heart. That's what happened to Saul with every single community of Christ followers. And later in the New Testament, he's writing letters. Come on, keep going. Let me encourage you. You're going off track a bit there. Let me give you a bit of teaching on that, because they're still in his heart. He had compassion for them. Never underestimate what God can do with your compassion. Never. Your compassion could take you to places that you may never even imagine. So, following and fishing. Over these 3 weeks, we're just going to learn some principles of what we see in Paul's journeys, of how he helps us follow Jesus, what that looks like on a day-to-day basis, but also fishing for Jesus, what that means in reaching men, women, boys and girls in a way that makes sense and in a way that understands. So that's going to be the angle which we're going to be going to, following and fishing. So, homework. Lean into this series a little bit more by tracking and reading the book of Acts at home in your own time. Today, we're just going to be looking at Acts 13 and 14 chapters. Why not read chapters 13 and 14 between today and next Sunday? Then next week, we're going to track a little bit faster, a few more chapters. Read those chapters. Lean in. Make it your own at home. Make it your own during the week. And you will get even more from this. So, everyone still with me? Wonderful. So, we've got a little map. Anybody love maps? I do. They are so good, aren't they? And you can go do your own research at home. Go online and look at different maps of Paul's first journey. So this is his first missionary journey. As I've said, it would have took between 1 to 2 years, around AD 46. And it may not be completely clear, but Paul starts off in Syria. So we can see Syria there, of Antioch. And by boat, he travels to Cyprus. Some good stuff happens there. And then he comes up to Turkey. And he spends some time in Antalya, which is southern Turkey. And then he goes up to another Antioch, a different Antioch, and Iconium, which now he's in central Turkey. That's our equivalent today. And then basically he doubles back on himself and goes back to Cyprus and finishes off in Antioch, where he shares the gossip. He shares everything that happened to him and Barnabas. So, let us read about this journey, shall we, by jumping into Acts chapter 13. It is going to be on the screen, and for time, we're just going to be reading a few different nuggets, but I know you're going to do your own reading at home. So, Acts 13, 1 to 3, this is where it all started. Turn to your neighbour, give him a nudge and say, starting point. Everything has a starting point. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Our first takeaway is this church. Everything begins in prayer. Everything begins in prayer. Where were they when the Holy Spirit put a spotlight on Saul and Barnabas? Were they in McDonald's? They didn't have a McDonald's then, trick question. They were in prayer. They were ministering to the Lord. I believe they would have been worshipping, maybe singing hymns, songs. They would have been praying, pouring out their heart to God, praying with one another. They were fasting. Oh, now they've got the superpower in the mix as well. The superpower of prayer with fasting. Now we're really talking. And as they were in that environment, it was then that Holy Spirit gave them the revelation. It's Saul, it's Barnabas, send them out. And this became the first missionary journey recorded in Acts. Church, I want to encourage you that everything begins in prayer. So if that's true, you need to make prayer a priority. There's been so many times in my life where God has spoken to me when I've been gathered with the family here in prayer. In prayer. He releases that revelation. He releases that word. On Thursday night, we had an incredible time at Encounter. There were 21 of us. It could be more. Look around now. It could have been a lot more than 21. But I tell you what, those 21 people leaned in. Those 21 people ministered to the Lord. Those 21 people prayed. Some of those 21 were praying with the superpower of fasting as well. And at the end of that time, someone came to Dave and I and said, "The Lord has spoken. Can I share what I sense the Lord is saying?" And as this person shared, it was on the nail. Little did that person know, 2 days later, I would lose a dear family member. Their word got me ready for what was about to come. Their word spoke to me. What were we doing? We were praying. Everything begins in prayer. Church, let us never despise prayer. Let us never think we can skip over that bit. That's not for me. It's boring. It's only for the pastors and the really spiritual ones like Friday. No! Everything begins in prayer. In April, I'm going to be sharing more next week. We're going to be going out into the community to share, to be carriers of the presence of God. It's got to start in prayer. We're not stepping a foot into that community without praying. There's not a chance. Everything begins in prayer. It always has, and it always will. So out of that, off they went. They prayed for them, and they sent them on their way, Barnabas and Saul. We'll carry on, verse 4 to verse 5. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there, they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Second takeaway, teamwork is essential. Turn to your neighbour and say, teamwork is essential. Come on. If it all begins in prayer, it's then backed up second base with teamwork. You see, the Holy Spirit knew, I'm not going to send Saul out by himself or Barnabas by himself. I'm going to send them out together. And then when they hit the land, they found a young man called John Mark. Apparently, theologians say he sat also under the teaching of Jesus. His mother opened up her home. So he was on the way. Maybe they saw something in John Mark that he didn't quite see in himself and thought, there's a bit of gold there. Come on, John Mark, come join us. So then the three of them went out as a team. And they went from place to place talking about Jesus, praying for people, but they did it in team. Teamwork is essential. We need one another. You see, there's no space for lone rangers in the kingdom of God. And don't buy it. If people say, no, I'll do everything, but no. John the Baptist was by himself, but he still had disciples. Yeah? Teamwork is essential. And our joy and our hope, even over these few months, as we make more marks into our community, as we move into a bigger space, is that the teamwork in this place between you and me and the one next to you and the one behind you will become even stronger. It will become even greater, that we will protect the unity of the team at all costs. Because teamwork is essential. None of us should be out there by ourselves, doing stuff by ourselves. We need one another. This was the Holy Spirit's pattern. Teamwork is essential. It's not always an easy ride. Because we're going to see later on, I don't know if we touch on it today or next week, or we don't have time, so I'll tell you now anyway. There is a dispute over John Mark. The boy that joined them actually causes a few problems because we see that John Mark does a runner. After all the investment, ever invested into somebody, and then they go off and do a runner on you. I think a lot of us have experienced that in life. I've put time in you. I've put money in you. I've put love in you. And now look, you've cleared off. It happens, and it happens to the best, and it happens to the ones that love Jesus because we're only human. So teamwork ain't perfect. And if you're looking for a perfect team, well, this one wasn't perfect anyway because one of them did a runner. And then the other two fall out about it. But anyway, I'm telling you too much. We'll come to that. But teamwork is essential. And so they're in Cyprus. The map's gone. If we go back to the map there, Tammy, they're in Cyprus. They preach the gospel. Various things happen there. I want you to read it in Acts 13. And then they catch a boat and then they go to the south and central parts of Turkey. And we haven't got time to read it all. But as you read Acts 13 and 14, there is a pattern which starts to emerge. Have you ever noticed patterns in your own life? Maybe patterns of how you think, patterns of how you respond, patterns of even maybe how God is trying to get your attention. Please pay attention to patterns. It's very important to be aware of patterns. Because that is usually a way that God is trying to give you wisdom. He's trying to direct you. Pay attention to patterns. And here's the pattern that we see. Wherever Saul, who becomes Saint Paul, goes, two things happen. Blessing and conflict. Blessing and conflict. Read it. In Acts 13, 14. Let me give you three times this happens. Acts 13, thank you, Tammy, verses 49 to 51. And the word of the Lord, no, don't worry, we may not have this, so I'll read it quick. And the word of the Lord has been spread throughout all the region. Bless him. But, the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet and came to Iconium. Blessing and conflict. The word of the Lord is spreading. People want to know. But there's other people hot on the heels. Get out of here. We're not interested. I love what it says, what they did. They simply shook the dust off their feet. That just means they went, oh, well, we'll just move on to the next place. And we'll tell them about Jesus instead. Sometimes you've just got to simply shake the dust off your feet and move on. Because people will hurt you. Life will be difficult. And the enemy wants you to stay stuck rather than shake. The Holy Spirit wants to give you the power to say, that was grim, that wasn't very nice, but guess what I'm doing? I'm shaking the dust off my feet and I'm moving on to the next opportunity. I'm moving on to the next season. I'm moving on to the next place where Holy Spirit is taking me. And then the pattern happens again. Here we go. Acts 14, verses 1 to 6. They are speaking. People want to know. They say, teach us more. And it says in Acts 14, verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And then a violent attempt was made by the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone Paul and Barnabas. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, those other places that they quickly did a runner to there. So some want to know, and some are saying kill them, stone them. And then finally, Acts 14, 19 to 20, let's see the pattern again. Then Jews from Antioch came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, now get this. When the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And my third takeaway for us is this. You will face persecution. You will face hardship. You will face suffering when you decide to follow Christ. There's a pattern. Blessing and conflict reside at the same address. A few weeks ago, I've told you many stories. There's many I haven't, of how the Lord uses me when I go shopping, just to give someone a word, to pray with someone. And I never take it for granted. But December last year, it was the 23rd of December, and Dave and I, we went to do our Christmas shop. Oh my, it was busy. On the 23rd of December, it was frantic. We loaded all of our items, well, we were loading. And a family came behind us at the till and they put the, you know, the next customer divider. They slammed that on the till. And I thought, I've still got half a trolley of food. What am I going to do now? There's clearly no room. So very politely, I said, excuse me, I've got a lot of food in my trolley. There's not enough room for me. Anyway, I thought, it won't be a problem. I was met with so much abuse. It was unbelievable. So we tried to keep managing the food, and I turned again and I said, listen, I'm sorry, but I need some space. And at this time, they really started going for me. The staff members were horrified. And I said, don't say anything. Don't say anything. We leave it. We keep our peace. We did our shopping. Many of the staff that I witnessed to were watching it all. And we came out and I was obviously shook up thinking, well, that wasn't very nice on the 23rd of December, was it? Happy Christmas. But here's what the Holy Spirit said to me as soon as I got on the car park. Leanne, opportunity and opposition reside at the same address. The opportunities I've given you so much to witness, there's also opposition there, Leanne. They reside in the same address. And this is the pattern that we see that Paul and Barnabas come into time after time. The question is, they were willing to face the suffering. They were willing to take a bit of the slamming because it was worth it. To take the gospel, to take the kingdom of God. So our three takeaways today, church, as we finish, are this. Number one, everything begins in prayer. Number two, teamwork is essential. And number three, you will face persecution, but don't worry. It probably means you're on the right path, doing exactly the right thing, and blessing and breakthrough are about to break through as you stay faithful and as you stay confident. So this is a whistle-stop tour today of Paul's first missionary trip. Acts 13 to 14, that is your homework. Next week, part two, we will be looking at Paul's second missionary trip from Acts 14 onwards. So come on, stand to your feet. Let me pray as we finish here. Father, we thank you so much for your word, that it speaks to us today. Your word is eternal. And Father, I pray, I declare over each of us and as a church that everything will begin in that place of prayer, of worship, of seeking you, that signs and wonders, dreams and revelation will come. That Father, you would lead us into a season of teamwork like never before, where it really will be the team that is making the dream of your kingdom come to reality. And Father, as we face persecution, we may not be stoned, but we may be spoken cruelly to. We may face different levels of persecution. Grant your people strength. Grant them boldness. May they even see the patterns of what you are doing and about to do in their life. And thank you that our journey in our life will make a difference. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.